Let's open up our Bibles to Ecclesiastes. And I need to be turned down, guys. Ecclesiastes. And if you don't know where Ecclesiastes is, just close your Bible and open it four times, right in the middle. And you'll find it. But so you know, if you find Psalms, then go over one book to Proverbs, over to the right. And then one more is Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, I'm reading out of the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions, but you can read with us word for word up here on the screens. And then also, just to let you know, we have Bibles. We have New King James Bibles at the book cart, so help yourself to purchase one of those. If you don't have one of those, that's okay. We'll give one to you. So, and it's our pleasure to do that. But so you can read word for word with us. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 10, verse 19. A feast is made for laughter and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Say that with me. Money answers everything. And that's an interesting passage because we read it and we think, well, you know what? There's part of us that believes that money answers everything. See, here's what we think. We think that, how many of you would say like this? How many think your life might get better if you made, and be honest, if you made double? So if you made $10 an hour, now you're making 20. If you make 20, now you're making 40. Whatever you make, if you made 15, now you're making 30. How many would raise your hands and say, my life would get better if I made double? Come on. See, some of you are like, oh, I'm not sure. Should I say that? But the reality is, that's what you think. Hello? You think your life would get better. You think, and let me tell you why you think that. You think that because fundamentally in your heart, you believe that money solves all your problems. Now, we know in our brain that that's not true. But let me tell you why you believe that. You believe that because you've been marketed to for so long. And let me tell you what the marketers are trying to do. The marketers want your money. So they're going to make you just, they're going to spend a lot of time, they're going to spend a lot of energy trying to convince you that your life would be better if you just had, you know, let me tell you why your life is so awful. Because when you go in the kitchen and you slice your tomatoes, you know what? Your tomatoes don't slice good. But if you had the handy dandy, you know, tomato slicer, you know what? Four easy payments of $39.68. You know what? And you see, and they do this, and the lady's in there, and she's like sweating, and she's like, you know, ruining her tomatoes. And then they show you the next one, and then the lady's all happy, you know what I mean? And you know what? And all the kids come running up for their sandwiches with the perfectly sliced tomato. Like the kids care about how the tomato was sliced. But they spend a lot of time and a lot of energy convincing us that if we just had their product, whatever their product is, whatever they're selling, you know what I mean? I make fun of this. So whatever the gadget is, you know what? When we hear that on the television, I say, honey, we need one of those. You know what I mean? And I'm always being sarcastic. Actually, sometimes I'm not, because sometimes I think, oh, that would be helpful. You know what I mean? But how many know you get that product, even if you could use that product, you get that product and your life doesn't get, you know, very much better. But how many know your wallet gets lighter, which is their agenda. And so what they're trying to do, and see, over the period of time, every say, over the period of time. See, you know, here, let me prove it to you. Here, help me out, those of you who are older than 25. You know what? Actually, older than 35. Actually, older than 45. But that's, I digress. Help me out. You know what? You deserve a
great day.
So, to where?
Okay.
See? So you know how much money they spent to get you to be able to know that? Why? And you say, oh, they spent a lot of money. No, they made a lot of money. because that is in you. You think you identify. You know what? Here, I'll try this one. Have it your way. Have it. Oh, you guys don't know this one as much. You know what? Hold the pickles. Hold the lettuce. Special orders. Okay. See. Okay. All we ask is that you let us have it your way. Whatever. Okay. And so they spend all this money, and they're, what are they doing? They want to get you. And over a period of time, everybody say over a period of time. Over a period of time, it finally gets you to understand, and you finally have this fundamental belief, even though logically you know it's not true, but in your heart you think, if I just had this, my life would get better. And we're marketed so much that we believe that our life would get better if we had more money. And if you were honest, probably every one of you would agree with that statement at some level. At some level, okay. And but we know at a deeper level, we know that that's not true. You know, I told the first service, had a manager, an owner that we were managing his apartment building for, and we saw 25 years ago, 35 years ago, we saw over $30,000 come in, rents. Every single month through our little mailbox slot, $30,000. And that was 35 years ago. Can you imagine how much is coming through that same mailbox slot today? And here's the deal. And that was just one of many apartments that he owned. We just managed one of them. And at 58 years old, that man, all the doctors in the world couldn't save him. See? And how many know money doesn't solve anything? I mean, it doesn't solve everything. How many know that's true? If money solved everything, Steve Jobs would still be alive right now. And as rich as that owner was, he wasn't as rich as Steve Jobs was. But with all the money that he had, you know what? Well, here's why. Because money doesn't solve everything. We say, yeah, but Pastor, you just read, money answers everything. You know, that's what Ecclesiastes said. Oh, wait. Please understand what he's trying to say. And he's not saying what you think he's saying. And the reason why you think you read it, money answers everything, but when you read it, you didn't think that. You thought money solves everything. Can I tell you why you thought that? Because that's how you think. So you go into, how many know you go into things with a preconceived notion of how things are. And your preconceived notion of how things are, they can taint what is right in front of you. I've told you the story, I'll tell you again. I'm getting ready to jump in the shower. My wife, being the blessing that she is, she says, "Oh, Drew, let me grab your razor and I'll shave off those gray hairs in the back of your head." And I'm quick to tell her, "Oh, I don't have gray hairs in the back of my head." And here's the thing, when she said that, I was completely serious. I was telling her, "Honey, I don't have gray hairs in the back of my head." That's right. And then she was gracious enough to go, "Drew, I'm looking right at them." Well, how are you looking at something that isn't there? You know what I mean? But what was the deal? Here was the deal. My preconceived notion of how young I was tainted the reality of what really was. So the Bible doesn't say that money solves all problems, but you read that and you say, "Oh, wow, trip out. The Bible says money solves a problem." That's not what it said. What it says is, go ahead, throw that up there again for me. What the Bible says is, money answers everything. Or watch this, watch it. Just read the first three words and that second, third part. But money answers. Say that with me. But money answers. A little bit louder. But money answers. Or we could say it like this. But money speaks. Or we could say it like this. But money proclaims. Or we could say it like this. But money identifies. Or we could say it like this. But money exposes. See, if you're taking notes, my first point is, you know what, is a question to ask. You know what, does money answer everything? Well, the answer is no. And we have to get a resounding understanding that money doesn't solve everything, and we have to get it, watch this, not only here, but we have to get it here. We have to get it, understand it in our hearts that money won't solve everything. And the reason, again, why we think that is because we're marketed to. And you think we'd learn, because when we buy that stuff and we still have problems. How many's bought some of that stuff and you still got problems? Okay. So here's the reality. Money doesn't solve all the problems. What the Bible is saying is money will identify what's really going on in your life. My second point is this. Money speaks. Everybody say money speaks.
Money speaks.
See, money will call you out. Money will identify what's really going on. Watch this. In your heart. Everybody say in my heart.
In my heart.
Your money, if you're honest, will show you where your heart is. Jesus said it like this. Turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 21. I have it up here on the screens. Matthew 6, 21 says this. This is Jesus. Jesus says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, watch it, your treasure's over here, your heart's going to be over here. If your treasure's over here, your heart's going to be over here. If your treasure's back here, your heart's going to be back here. Here's what's not going to happen. Your treasure's here and your heart is here. That's not going to happen. The Bible says this. Jesus said this, quoting the Old Testament scripture. He said, they draw close to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. In a little bit, we're going to see somebody who comes up to Jesus, and he comes and he speaks a big talk, a big game. He talks a big game, how awesome God is and how awesome, but his heart is way over here. And what I want you to understand is this. Listen, God can't lie. Wherever your money is, that's where your heart is. What's your heart? We're not talking about the heart that pumps your blood. The heart, you know what the heart is talking about? Who you really are. So wherever your money is, that's going to say what you're really about. You want to know where you want to find me?
Yeah.
You want to know where I am? Find my wedding ring. Because where my wedding ring is, that's where I am. Are you catching this? My wedding ring, listen, my wedding ring doesn't get put, you know what, in a dish when I go to the grocery store. Oops. See, it doesn't happen. Why? Because I'm down for my wife. Because I want people to know. You know what? Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Where my wedding ring is, that's where I'm at. I don't take off my wedding ring. And so it's just an example, but wherever your treasure, wherever your money, everybody say money.
Money.
See, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about your money. Where your money is, that's where your, or to say it like this, where you spend your money is going to tell you what you're into. It's my third point. Oh, my third point. Listen, wherever you spend your money, whatever you spend your money on, whatever it is, it'll tell you and others what you're into. Listen, not your lips, not your mouth, not what you say, but where you spend your money, where your treasures are. God doesn't say, you know what you say. No, no. He said, actually, he quotes Old Testament and says just the opposite. They draw close to me with their words, but their heart is far from me. Your money will indicate where your heart is. Wherever your heart is, there your money is. Where your money is, that's where your heart is. So we see a great example in the New Testament, and we see this guy, and you've heard the story, but let me teach it to you, even if you've heard it. Can you learn something even if you've heard of the story before?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So let me teach you something. So there's this guy, he's rich, he's a rich young ruler. He's got a lot of bucks, a lot of money. You know what? He's got spinners on his car. Okay. Okay. And actually, he didn't have a car, so you know what I mean? But if he had a car, he'd probably have spinners, probably have a jamming stereo, you know what I mean? Probably have it going on, you know what I mean? Could probably have, you know what, the cool, you know what, gold earrings on. I mean, he has it going on, you know what I mean? And, you know, the bling. He probably would have the bling, okay? So this guy's got a lot of money, and he comes up to Jesus, and he starts talking to Jesus. But here's what I read. It's important to read your Bible every day because you'll learn more stuff. Read this over and over again. Never recognize this. But here's what he does. He comes up to Jesus, and here's what he does. All eyes up here because I want you to see it. Here's what he does. He comes up to Jesus, and he does this. He goes, "Good teacher, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God?" Say, I never saw that before. I thought he went up to him, but he doesn't do this. This guy's going to lay it on thick. Amen? He's going to get on his knees in front of Jesus and say, "Oh, teacher, good teacher." How many know Jesus can see through our jive talk? Come on. How many ever jive talked your mama before? I don't got no cookies. I don't got no cookies. How many of you tripped out that your mom could see through your jive talk? Well, listen, if you think your mom can, you know, see through your jive talk, how much more can God see through it? And God sees through the whole thing, and he says, "Hey, dude, there's no one good, so..." And what's he telling him? What's he really saying is, "Hey, dude, knock it off." But here's what he asks. "What must I do to enter the kingdom of God?" And Jesus says, "Here's what you need to do." And he gives them a list of things. They're commandments in the Old Testament, part of the Ten Commandments. And here's what the guy said. Now, this guy's so much jive talk. Here's what he says. "I've done all those. Oh, since I was a youth." Well, let me just ask you. How many of you have ever done something wrong? How many did a lot of stuff wrong in junior high and high school? Raise your hand if that's it. Okay, thank you very much for your honesty. Listen to what this guy is trying to pawn off towards Jesus. Here's what he's trying to tell him. "I've done all those things since I was a youth." And then you know what Jesus does? Jesus does the same thing to him as he does to you and I. He locates what his issue is. And he's going to deal with this issue. And he says, "Here is your problem." Now, if you came here to hear a flowery message, you came to the wrong place. But if you came here to hear the truth, if you came here to be challenged, that you could be the best person that you are, then you came to the right place. And what I'm humbly suggesting to you, or what I want you to understand is, for many of us today is a great opportunity for us really to find out where our heart really is. So let me give you an example. And listen, and don't be offended that I am straight up with you. Because honesty is one of the best forms of respect. Amen. But here's the reality. The reality is many of us, and if you, I'm just using this as an example, if you have a new Ford truck or a brand new Ford truck, "Oh man, Pastor was talking about me." I don't even know who has a Ford truck, so it's just an example. But let me give you an example. So you go out and you spend $38,000 on a new Ford truck. And it's nice. I mean, it is a nice truck, you know what I mean? I mean, it's nice. But here's the deal. Listen, but here's the deal. How do you do that when you don't have $38,000? Come on, somebody tell me the answer. You buy it over time, you know what, in the future, and watch this. And because you don't have cash, you can't come in, you can't get a good deal on it. And now not only do you not get a good deal on that truck, but you gave them a good deal because you're going to pay five or six or whatever the going rate is, plus the they're going to add that interest, you know what, on top of the truck. Why would anybody do that? Let me tell you why. Because they really want to drive a Ford truck. That's why. Because see, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. And Ford Credit will be fast to give you a easy payment plan. Can I tell you, let's just tell you what. By the fourth easy payment, you're going to find out that they're not easy payments. And by the fourth, and you still got 58 more to go. These are not easy payments. But they're not going to, but why would you, Pastor, why would you do such a thing? Here's why. Because that's where your heart is. Does this make sense? So, Granny, my mother-in-law, we call her Granny, she loves decorating for Christmas. She actually loves decorating for Easter, Christmas, all the holidays. You know, when we came home and there was like these green shamrocks, all that. You know what I mean? It's just like, what? I didn't even, you know what I mean? It's like St. Patrick's, what? It's like, are you kidding me? Where do you find this stuff? You know what I mean? It's like, okay. But anyway, she finds it. But Christmas is like, you know what? We sit down with her every year and we counsel her, you know what I mean? And we try to get her into, like therapy, exactly. I don't know, something anonymous, you know what? You know, don't buy so much Christmas, Holiday Anonymous. You know. Anyway, we try to get her, but she just, you know what? And every, oh, yeah. So this year, and it was still 2 months, 3 months before Christmas. Tamara's at a store, you know, I don't know what store it was, but she's at a store and she can't find Granny. She's like, Where is she? And, you know, here's where I'm going to look. I'm going to look in the holiday place, you know what I mean? So she goes over to the Christmas aisle, you know, where all the Christmas, and guess who she found, you know what I mean? She found. So when you come over to my house, and you'll be, you know, Christmas time, you'll be far away, you know what I mean? You'll be just driving way down the street, and you'll look, and you'll see all the, you know what I mean? And, you know, Santa's doing this, and all this stuff. It's like, oh my goodness, Granny, you know what I mean? This pastor's house, okay? Then you walk in the front living room, Christmas, dining room, kitchen, every room. Every bathroom. There is no room that is off limits, you know what I mean? Here's my point. You know why she does that? It's deep. You know why she does that? Because her heart is into it. Now, let me, again, if you came for a flowery sermon, you came to the right place, wrong place. But if you came to hear something that will help you, because here's the reality, and if this is you, you know what? Put the shoe on. It's okay. It's not meant to criticize you. It's meant to love on you. Because I don't want anyone that comes here for them to deceive themselves and think that their heart is for God. You know what? When their treasures are far from God. Because that's a deception. And I want to have the integrity as your pastor to tell you the truth. But there's people who will make a $38,000 investment to a car company. And in the last year, haven't even given, listen, not in the whole year, have given less than $1,000 to the kingdom of God. Let me just tell you what Barna Research says. Barna Research says, not talking about Catholic people, I'm not ripping on Catholics. I love Catholics. But I want you to be specific. He's not including Catholic people. But Christian people, evangelicals, are down to, listen to me, less than 4% bring in 10% to the body of Christ. Yeah, exactly. Help us. And here's the thing. And here's the funny thing. Here's the peculiar thing. $38,000 investment in a vehicle, less than $1,000 investment to the kingdom of God. And we walk around and go, what? Yeah. More importantly, we walk around and go, Pastor, get out of my face. We walk around and we're, watch this, we're not offended at that, but where we're offended at is someone who would be willing to say that in a service and point that out. And here's the crazy thing. In just about the last 8 years, just the last 8 years, we've gone from about 7% to 4%. That is about a 40% change. I'm just telling you what Barna Research has said. And this research isn't like Uncle Ned, you know, finding eight friends. You know what I mean? No, this is scientific research that they've calculated out and find out that that's what's happening. 40% drop, watch this, in just about the last 8 to 10 years in our giving corporately as far as evangelical Christians, which is kind of crazy because how many know at 7% that's bad? But we go from 4% from 7% to 4%. Why is that happening? Let me tell you why. Because our hearts are being drawn away from God. Because we have pastors who don't have the integrity to stand before their congregations and say, this is wrong. We can't do that. We have to fund the kingdom of God. We can't just talk about how much, oh, I love God, I love God, I love God. You know, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And yet, in our behavior, we're not going to fund. Listen, like I expressed a couple weeks ago, if we're not going to be responsible to do what God has called us to do, the evangelism that needs to be done in Pico Rivera, who's going to do it? Who's it up to? If it's not up to us, it is up to us. And so the rich young ruler is just a great picture of what's really taking place in the body of Christ. How many is glad you still came today? Okay. And how many would have the integrity to look at, it's tax time, so great opportunity, you know what, for you to do this, to look, just look at what we sent out to you recently. And look and see what it is. Pastor, man, you're just, can I tell you what? Jesus had willingness to look at that man in the face and tell him, here's what you need. You know, God help me. When I become a pastor that is too afraid to tell you what is really needed. What we need to do, I'm not talking about the body of Christ. Can you turn me down a little bit? What I'm talking about is this body of Christ, this church. What we really need to do is corporately, every person make a commitment to fund the kingdom of God. And to not, you know, sit here and think, oh, praise God, I hope Georgie's hearing this message because, you know what, because here's the thing. If we're thinking, hoping that Georgie hears it, you know what, then, or let's just talk about funding the outside, $300,000 to fund the outside. If I'm all hoping, George, I hope Georgia hears it. I hope Georgia hears this. You know what I mean? Then you know what I need? I need Georgie to write a check for $300,000. Okay, and I'm not saying that he can't do that. But I'm saying if Georgie wrote a check for $300,000, how many know that thing might have a little boing to it? Right? But I'm just asking, but could it be possible for 300 people that come to Hope Community Church, would it be possible for them, each one of them, everybody say each one of them. Would it be possible for each one of them, us, to write a check for $1,000? I said, Pastor, how can I do that? Well, would it be possible for you to write a check for $250 over the next four months? Now, listen to me. Before you freak out on that kind of logic, you know what? Listen, before you get in my face and go, back off, Pastor, before you do that, recognize the Ford Motor Company will have the tenacity to say that to you. You know what? Target will have the tenacity to say that to you. You know what? Costco will have the tenacity to say that to you. All these other companies will have the tenacity to say, why shouldn't we be as bold for the kingdom of God? Because let me tell you what, that Ford, it might look good, but in a period of time, it's going to get a dent, then it's going to get another dent. Then you know what? Then your kids are going to spill the ice cream on the thing, and pretty soon, you know what? It's going to break down, and it's going to be worth nothing. But years and years and years from now, that outdoor fellowship hall will be ministering to people over and over and over and over again. So where does this guy go? Does this guy embrace God and say, thank you, Jesus? Awesome. Thank you that you're right. That is the one thing. That's the one thing. Because let me tell you what we have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to resist because God has a tendency to nail you exactly where you need the problem. You know, it's like, you know, you know, imagine a doctor coming in, doctor, I need some help. And my arm just all messed up. And he's like, oh, let me see your foot. Let me see your foot. Let me see your other foot. Open up. Say, oh, let me check your teeth. You're going to be like, hey, how often are you going to go to that doctor? You're going to say, you know what? Oh, doctor, crazy. You know what I mean? Get out of here. I'm not going to you. But here's why. You know what? God has the integrity to find out exactly what your issue is. You know why people don't want pastors talking about money and sex? Can I give you a wild guess here's why. Because those are issues where they're having issues. And they don't want anybody, don't talk about that. Don't, you know what, Pastor George, you know what, make sure you're not talking about money, make sure you're not talking about sex. And I'm gonna say, really? Because you know what? I think that's probably the two areas that we need to talk about a lot. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? That's what we need to talk about. Those are the areas. You know what? And God has the integrity to look and say, here's the problem. Yeah. Years ago, I had somebody actually, they didn't even come up to me. They called me. And here's what they said. Pastor, if you don't stop talking about giving, we're going to leave the church. Okay. Pastor, can I tell you why I talk about money? Can I tell you why I encourage you to give? Because the Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And Barna says that's exactly what's happening. Because our giving is an indication of our No, Pastor, I really, you know what? No. 38,000, less than 1,000. All last year, less than 1,000. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm really down for God. I'm really down. Okay. Really? No, honey, really. I have no gray hairs in the back of my head. Really? 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 Okay. So, can I tell you another story real quick? So, there's this other story, And Jesus goes to the temple, and in the temple, there's, Daniel, go over to one of those boxes and point to the box. There you go. See that box? Okay. Well, thank you. So in the Bible, in the temple, there was boxes. There were 13 of them, and they were in the back, kind of like that. They called them trumpets. And they were in the back, And there's a story, and Jesus goes into the temple, and here's what he does. Are watching? You got to keep your eye on me. Here's what he does. Are you watching? Here's what he does. Are you catching this?
Yeah.
That's what he does. And as he's doing that, he notices that there's these people and they're giving money, And then there's this one lady and she gives 2 mites, which was a very little amount of money. I tell you that story, and you might know that story, and Jesus says, wow, this lady's awesome. Look how much she gave. And she gives a lot, but it's a little. Well, she gave a lot because of what little she had, she gave everything she had. Which I'm going to pick up on that point in a minute. Because one of the deceptions is you think that you can't give because of your financial situation. That's the con. That's the lie. That's the fake out. That's the, what we said, that's the etch-a-sketch. You know what? So Jesus writes, you know what? Where your money is, where your treasures are, your faith is also. And we etch-a-sketch it out. We shake it and think, no, but you don't know. No, really, my heart is close to God. I just hardly ever give anything. Whoa. It's like the magic wand that says, you know, but Pastor, you don't know my finances. No, can I tell you? Money speaks.
That's right.
Money indicates where you're really at. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So wherever your money is, your mind's like, see, she's into, you know, whatever the is, you know, see, he's into, because the money indicates what's really going on in your life, what you're really into. And here's what we do. See, here's what you need to know. Jesus never went to our usher's meeting. In the usher's meeting, we have guys, get me the box again. Not the box. I'm sorry. Yeah, give me the bucket. So in the, Daniel's like, you want me to take the box off of here? I don't know. See. So in the usher's meeting, we have this usher's meeting, and we teach them, here's what's not appropriate when you're passing out the bucket. Here's what's not appropriate. What's not appropriate is to come by here, and you're like, kind of like, okay. that. Okay. That is, what's with this row? You know what I mean? That's not appropriate. What we want you to do is be more nonchalant, kind of not stare, kind of act like you're not noticing, hand it to her but not notice, you know, be nonchalant. That would be polite. But can I tell you what? But Jesus never went to this meeting. Jesus never went to this meeting. Can I know what Jesus is doing? Jesus is like, I'm watching. I'm looking. And it's appropriate for me to look. Because you're accountable for your actions. Listen, and there's nothing more important than building the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm going to wrap that. There's nothing more important than building the kingdom of God. There's nothing more important than building the kingdom of God. There's nothing more important than building the kingdom of God. There is nothing more important than building the kingdom of God. Okay. So, Pastor, how do you know? How do you know he was looking? How do you know he was looking? Because the Bible says he was looking. And he was back there watching, observing. Read it in your own Bible. He's looking to see. You know what he's looking for? He was looking to see what they were putting in. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know why he looks at you? Because he's looking to see what you put in. Pastor, that's it. That's it, man. Oh, you should say that to me. You know, can I tell you why we get that attitude? Because we want to continue to spend $38,000 to Ford, and we continue to want to give God less than $1,000. And God says, listen, you can do whatever you want, but let me tell you the truth. At least know where your heart is. Your lips are close to me, but your heart is not. And you find every reason to be able, listen, we need to be good stewards of our finances, that we would be able to give to build the kingdom of God. That's what we need to do. And I just happen to be somebody who loves you enough to say, stop thinking you can't. Stop wanting to bring up all the excuses why, you know what, you come up with, whoa, blah, 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 blah. And it's just, you know what, when it comes down to it, it's just a bunch of excuses. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's given us great opportunity. Notice, it's not the amount that you give that's the issue. That lady didn't give very much money. But she was all in. See, here's what we think. We think, no, Pastor, you don't, here's why I can't. Well, that's the problem. You're asking the wrong question. Here's why I can't. First of all, understand this. To bring the tithe in the storehouse is responsible to everyone. Yeah. I don't care where you're at economically. 10% is 10%. The Bible says it doesn't belong to you. I don't care what you get on the internet and find out all the stuff. It's just a bunch of malarkey. You know what? God is absolutely, it's a New Testament reality that God wants us to bring the tithe in the storehouse. Amen. And we are responsible to do that no matter where we're at. And then we're responsible to pray and say, God, what would you have me do above that tithe? That's a starting point. Now, let me tell you what that takes. That takes for you to trust that Jesus tells the truth. Let me ask you this question really quickly. How many believe Jesus tells the truth? Raise your hand if you say, Jesus tells the truth all the time. Okay, tell me, do you believe he does it all the time?
Yes.
Do you believe 100% of the time?
Yes.
Here's what Jesus said. Give, and it will be given back to you. You know what it does? It takes out that lie that says, no, I can't because. Well, what was the problem with that rich young ruler, ultimately? Ultimately, he believed that if he sold everything he had and gave it to the poor, that he would not be provided for. Just answer me this. What if the apostles weren't provided for? They all left. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John will you ever find any of the apostles complaining about not having enough to eat, not having enough to wear, not having provision. Never, 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 ever, ever in one scripture, one passage, not one. Can I tell you why? Because God can't lie. And when they left their boats and left all their stuff and followed Christ, Christ is accountable to take care of them. Give and it will be given to you. So he's accountable. So he can be trustworthy. So what is the issue? Here, can I tell you what the issue is? Those of you who don't give faithfully, consistently, or at all. The issue is trust. And if you really believe that God gives back to you, then there's no issue. And it becomes very simple. It's easy to give because you know. Okay. So can I tell a story? I can tell stories all day long, but I'll tell you one story. It just happened recently. So my son, and we teach our kids to give. We teach our kids to tithe. We taught them that ever since they were little. We see it as an important principle, okay, that they tithe, not my parents tithe. Can I tell you what? If you're a parent, that's what I used to always say. Oh, my dad tithes, my dad tithes, my dad tithes. I was working in the grocery store and making good money, and I was like, oh, my dad's a tither, my dad's a tither. Hey, listen, there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. What your dad does doesn't mean you do it. if your dad tithes but you don't, you are not a tither. You're stealing from God. So my dad tithed, but I was like, oh, wow, you're my dad tithes, my dad tithes, my dad tithes. Then the Holy Spirit said, you know what? You're responsible to bring the tithe in the storehouse. It's so important for me. Okay. So we teach our kids that. So the other day, you know what? Tyler has a job and he got his check, brought the tithe into the storehouse. And then after he did that, he went to his bank. When he went to his bank, I think he found this out earlier, but he had a checking account that he set up and he didn't know they were taking $12 out of his account every single month for the checking account. Well, Tyler's like, oh, I ain't doing that. You know what I mean? So he shuts the account down. As he's leaving, the lady tells him, the teller, and he never even asked for this. The teller says, oh, I put that money back into your account. Okay. He said, how much? She said, times three. 3 months, $12, $36, boom, back into his account. Now, why do I say that? She said, Pastor, that's not a lot of money. It's not the money principle. The principle is his, you know what, he tithed and just whatever it was, less than 3 hours later, God gives back to him, but he gives back to him more than he tithed. Well, Pastor, that's just a silly story. No, that's not a silly story. Like, let me tell you what that is. That's a real God who is committed to his word. And here's the deal. And it don't make any difference what it is, whether it's to tithe, whether it's healing, whether it's, whether it may be salvation. I don't believe that Jesus Christ, whatever it is, here's what the Bible says. You know what? As you believe, so be it unto you. And there's all kinds of people that they don't believe that. That's the way they withhold it. But can I tell you what it is? It's not a money issue. It's a trust issue. You know what Tamara and I are believing? Tamara and I are believing that a word like this, that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you. That this won't, that today won't be a dodgeball day. What's a dodgeball day? Dodgeball day is, you know what I mean? That's good for somebody else, but that's not good for me. I'm believing that today is the day that you're going to take account. Look at what you did last year. And if your heart is far from God, if your treasures are far from God, that you'd have the integrity to look at yourself and say, man, I'm going to make a change, and I'm not going to wait until I think that I can afford it. It's like the person who you meet out in the street and say, oh, Pastor, I'll come back to church. I'm going to come back to church as soon as I stop smoking marijuana and as soon as I stop, you know what I mean, shacking up. And as soon as I get my life together, I'm going to be back in church. Well, I'm going to be waiting a long time. No, don't wait. Today is the day. Come back to God and watch him start to help you fix things. Go to God. Just make a decision. You know what? I'm just going to start to trust God in my finances. I've been talking about it. I've been thinking about it. You know what? Every time they pass the offering, I'm like, oh, okay. When it's going to be over, oh, my, okay, I'm okay. You know what? Start thinking about, you know, something else. But you know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And then, and listen, and don't walk away thinking, you know what? It's on me. Well, you know, because here's what the Bible says. In the last days, that here's what men are going to do. They're going to go around and they're going to find. Guys, do you have it in the Amplified version? I think you do. I gave it to the first guys. It's 2 Timothy. Okay, watch this. 2 Timothy 4:3. This is the Amplified version. For the time will come. See, that's now. 4%. 4% of the body of Christ bringing the tithe in the store. 4%. You know what that means? That means 96% is not. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them from God's truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen by them to satisfy their own desires and support the errors they hold. Wow. Listen, I'm not saying you're going to hear this in every church. What I'm saying is you can go and run to another church that you ain't going to ever. I mean, you can go listen to a whole. You know what? I heard one online, and they had the offering, and here's what they said. Oh, my goodness, God help. Here's what they said. They had the offering, and before they took up the offering, here's what they said. God bless those who give. God bless those who don't give. And to bless God and bless those who can't give. Boy, that sounds, doesn't that sound religious? And I was like, oh, that's, think about it. Bless those who don't give. That's Galatians. You know what? Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he also reap. That's God's principle. You're going to come against that principle? Really? But we wrap it up in holiness. We wrap it up in a church setting. We think, oh, God bless those. And I believe God is like, that's gross. That's a gross prayer. And yet, how many would say, oh, amen, amen, amen. Not amen. Not amen. Nope. There's error. And I'm gonna love you enough to correct the error and teach the word of God. Just so you know that God looking and seeing at what you're doing, that's the Bible. That's what Jesus Christ did. You're gonna get offended? Get offended at Jesus. Because that's what he did. And you know what he was looking for? He was looking because he wanted to know how much people are giving. Why? Because he loves people. He loves your heart. How many are still glad you came today?
Thank you. It's interesting that God, he didn't put a dollar amount in the word to say everyone has to give $1,000 or everyone has to give, you know what, $500, you know what, a month. What he did is he put a percentage in there. And he put that percentage because he's fully aware of the different economics that we all have. And yet he excludes no one from the responsibility of funding the kingdom. I hear people say all the time, well, yeah, I'd love to. I can't because, and there's, you can fill in the blanks, because I'm a single mom, because I'm on a fixed income, because I could come up with a lot of becauses. I'm not a single mom. Isn't everyone, you know, that works for an hourly wage on a fixed income? I could come up with a lot of reasons. I can't because I have a house. I got property taxes. I got things to fix at my house. I can't because I got 3 kids to feed. You only have 1. I mean, everyone can do this, true? We could all come up with it. But none of us, you know what, are excluded, you know what, from the responsibility. And that's why it's awesome. God is a just God. He's a fair God. That's why he gave us all an equal playing field, which is the tithe. And then we're to ask God as far as our offering and our alms. Amen? To be led by the Spirit. What do we do? When we first came here, there were a dozen of us and a very large facility that was very, very run down, very much in need of all kinds of repairs. And the church had been deficit spending. That means they were spending money that was not coming in. For whatever reason, they had I think someone had actually given their property years ago, and they had a savings account. And so the church was deficit spending for over 10 years. the congregation wasn't funding what was happening, you know what? The savings account was funding the weekly opening of the church and electric bill and all the things that were happening. And they were down to just a few thousand. I'm going to say eight, all right? So give or take if I've got this off by a few thousand, okay? So they maybe had about $8,000 left in their savings account. So that's when they said, well, we either need to hire a younger pastor and start to outreach to our community, or we need to sell this property, close our doors, you know what, and put the money, you know, somewhere else in God's kingdom. And so what their choice was to hire a younger pastor in hopes that we would be able to become a thriving church again in this community and to keep this church in this community. And so, but we had the facility, we had kind of a mess on our hands. I could walk around and count the rotted doors. They were so rotted with dry rot and just damage that they were literally just barely hanging by the hinges. So there was much work to be done, and if you've done any construction, that stuff's not cheap. But here's what the Lord said one night at a prayer meeting when there was probably six of us from the 12 congregation church that were in the prayer meeting. He said the leadership of the church had just come in agreement that we were going to pull $5,000 of the last few thousand so that we could paint and repair the outside structure of the church. So they had pulled $5,000, leaving us, you know, just pennies to kind of live on, if you will. And we were going to, you know, fix the outside of the church. And the Lord said that night at the prayer meeting, he said, tell them I'm going to take the 5,000 and I will multiply it like the loaves and fishes. I said, okay, Lord. So I'll never forget, I was nursing Tyler, and so I wasn't with the people. I was two pews in front of them, and I turned back behind my shoulder, and I said, the Spirit of God said that he's going to take that 5,000, and he's going to multiply it like the loaves and fishes. It was a big step, you know what, for the church to say, okay, we're going to pull this money. And so we did that, and many of you know, and many of you saw the articles that used to be over in the North Sanctuary. There began to be such an outpouring of materials to this church from businesses, local businesses, and businesses, predominantly Home Depot. We became a double district Team Depot project when Home Depot will not give to churches. But they gave to this church. It was miraculous. God did exactly what he said. He took that $5,000 and he multiplied it like the loaves and fishes. We had over $160,000 worth of materials over the next 2 years that were given to Hope Community Church that's made it the church that you see today. Amen. So I want to read to you a little bit about the feeding of the 5,000 right now. So it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place that we can get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all of the towns, and they got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered, and he said, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread to give it to them to eat?" Are we to do this and give it to them to eat? "How many loaves do you have?" he said. "Go and see." Now, I did not know what Pastor Drew was speaking, but in the first service, here's what the Lord reminded me. Do you remember back when I said that I was going to take that 5,000 and that I would multiply it? I said, "Yeah, I remember that." And we all saw what he did. This will be no different, the outside project. You know what? For our community to be able, there's communities that would need this amount of money, and it's no big deal. Many people in the congregation could just write a check and hand it over. But that's not our community. But this is what God has called us to. We are in a go and see time right now on the outdoor project. Do you understand that? Where the disciple, go and see what is among you. And so, you know what? We all have an opportunity that we can pray about it and ask the Lord, what are we to do above our tithe? What are we to give? What should you give? Exactly what the Holy Spirit tells you to give. Pray about it. Figure it out. It's what we're going to do. It's what we're going to do. And we're going to do exactly what God's asking us to do, just like we did to get this place. The Lord will always first. I remember when we needed the chairs. You know what? And at that time, I mean, how expensive were these chairs? I hate that I don't remember numbers well. $18,000 for the chairs that you're sitting in. Woo! That's a lot of money. And we were maybe 30 or 50 people at the time. And we knew that we needed chairs. And so we had done all of our homework because we know how God works. We figured out how many chairs we needed. We picked a chair that we wanted. We got a quote, a price quote on the chairs. Why are we doing all that? Because we don't have the money for it. I'll tell you why. Because we're going to go to our God and we're going to say, "God, this is what we need. To get the chairs that we hear you saying that we need, here's how much we need." So we did all that. And then the Lord said, "Take up an offering from the congregation." Did I say we were 50 people? And what we were just in the early, early days. Our first year here, Pastor Drew talks about, we didn't buy a paper clip. Not even a paper clip. Nothing. We were just, we did not turn on the air conditioner. Over on that side, and many of you don't even know the church like this, over on that side, absolutely no insulation. And on a summer day, with no insulation, you know what, and sweat would just be pouring down us as we would be sitting here listening to the sermon. We definitely weren't turning on the air conditioning. But now we're in these chairs. Go give the congregation an opportunity. And we said, "Ooh, okay, we're still trying to teach everyone about the tithe. You know what I mean? They still don't kind of understand that. So, you know what? We go to the congregation. And we got, help me with the number. How much did we get from the offering that day from our congregation? $300 or $400. Is $300 or $400 going to help us out with $18,000 worth of chairs? That's what I told her. I'm like, Lord, that's kind of silly because we need a lot of money. And he said, do not rip them off from the opportunity to be able to sow into this. So, okay. So we did, and we got $400 within a month. And I don't have time for the whole testimony, but prompted by the Lord to do something that I did not want to do, to say something that I did not want to say to a virtually complete stranger, the Lord told me, ask him if he wants to help Hope buy chairs. This guy, like, if we didn't have very much money, I knew he didn't have very much money either. So I said, Lord, I don't even know this guy. How embarrassing. Because it's not like he's got the cash. He said, just ask him. Okay, Lord. He said, how's it going over at Hope? I said, I saw my door. I said, pretty good. Yeah, we're looking to buy some chairs right now, and we need to get rid of the pews and purchase some chairs because it's going to help us, you know what, get more people. And he said, oh, good. I said, hey, you know, maybe you might like to, from your missions fund or something, you know, help Hope out. And then at that point, you guys know this one, I could feel Pastor Drew turn around and look at me like, what are you doing? And I just didn't want to look at him. I just stayed looking not at him. Because I'm like, I know. Within 30 days or so, we ended up with a check for every penny for the chairs through not that man individually, but a contact that he had. Who knew, right? Who knew? I know who knew. So we just like doing it God's way, because what we've learned is he knows a lot more than we know. And his way is higher than our way. So the Bible says, and let me be real clear about this, that nobody should give under compulsion. In other words, I should not be trying to twist your arm to give. If you feel a twist, be set free. You can't give that way. Do not give. You know what? This is about you and God. This is about you asking the Lord, you know what? Lord, what would you have me do? And this is about us being obedient and doing what Lord has told us to do. And then when we're done with this moment, you know what? It's between you and God all day long. People say, I don't have finances to tithe. That's just because you spent it somewhere else. That's why. We all have a tithe. The Bible says the tithe is holy, that we're not to touch it. It's one of the first things that we do. It's the first thing. So we all have a tithe, every one of us. And it's good for us to know the truth, amen? Because we're not going to, just much like the rich young ruler, we're not going to be able to shuck and jive God. You know what? At the end of the day. Amen? So Jesus has them go, you know what, amongst the people. What do we have? But then here's what he does, and you all know it. They come back with what they have. 2 loaves and a couple fishes or whatever it was. And the Lord ended up breaking it and blessing it, asking God, bless this. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're gonna do our part. We're going to hear the Lord. We're going to contribute whatever the Lord tells us to contribute. And then we're going to take, after we as a congregation have done this, then we're going to ask the Lord to bless that which has come in. and watch and see God. We just need to do our part. What have the disciples said? I don't want to go around and ask these people. What's the point of asking them when there's 5,000 of them here? Or more than 5,000. That was just, you know what? When there's so many people here, it's ridiculous. We're not going to be able to feed them anyway. See, that's what we have a tendency to try and do. That's what I was trying to do way back in the day with the early congregation. Lord, what's the point? His ways are higher than our ways. We're just going to do it, and then we're going to watch God. Amen? So, you know what? You pray about it. You've got the cards. If you don't have a card, there's one on the back. And then we're going to watch God do what God does. Amen? And then be sure there's more than your giving, but then there's your believing. You know what? That you're just thanking God for what he's going to do for us. Amen? Every time you walk out the doors, just begin to see it and tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this outdoor fellowship center. And it will be, you know what, just like the people, they wanted to be near Jesus. They wanted to hear his teachings. They wanted to come. I love the testimony that already our church is in our city because of Hope Tower, because of just our faith and our faithfulness to God, that this is not the church that has brown grass, weeds everywhere, rotted doors all around it. That's not our church anymore. If we don't fund the kingdom doesn't get funded. We're the ones who care. And you can see that in our facility. This is a whole different facility. And just like this facility right now is an incredible testimony to anyone in the city, so much more will it be, you know what, when that showpiece is out there. Amen? And it will be a showpiece, as God's house should be. Amen? Amen. Would you give me I left them underneath the seat there. Oh, no, I have one right here. Sorry. Forgive me. Amen. Whew. Let me pray over you. You know what? That you would just, you know what? Seek the Lord and do what he tells you to do. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, Father, for your provision. I pray right now, Father, that you would just minister to each one of us, that we would begin to just seek you. What is it that you would have us do? Father, I thank you for everyone that is in the sanctuary, that has heard this message. I thank you, Father, that you are the one who sets the members in a body. I thank you for the history that we have with you of who you are. Father, I pray that you would encourage each person here and that each one of them would recognize the opportunity that you present them. We give you praise and honor. Thank you, Father, to be people of faith. I bind up fear in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that we look to you and that we begin to become more and more faithful to you and more obedient to you in every area of our life, as it will benefit us greatly. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we have lunch outside today. We're still having lunch together as we're funding what we're doing down in the youth room so that they have a wonderful place. And we want you to stay and join us for lunch today. You can take it to go. You can eat it here with us. We've got barbecue chicken, mac and cheese, and toasted cheese bread. And that's $6 for the adult plate, $3 for the children's plate, or you can get lemonade or water for $1. And that is going to conclude our service. If you have signed up to go with the ladies to the dinner theater, be sure that you're stopping by there and taking care of your finances. That's coming up, but we need you to just keep going with your finances, and then that is sold out, so I cannot sell any more tickets to that. And then please do not forget that we have Esperanza tonight at 6 o'clock. We're very grateful for Pastor George and Lydia, this blessing, what comes in and asking the Lord to multiply it, will be watch and see. You know what? What an awesome, awesome time this is going to be for our church and for our community. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for us, for everything that you've done. We give you glory and honor and praise. You are a good God. You are faithful to us. And you have a plan that you are rolling out in this city for your glory. I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that we would participate. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Concludes our service. We love you and God loves you. We'll see you guys on Wednesday night. You are dismissed.